that you would give us capacity to focus our hearts and our minds, and that we would be able to hear your voice speak to us today, and that your Holy Spirit would do the inside work that needs to be done that only he can do. Thank you for each one that's here visiting with us. Thank you for each one that's here, Lord, as a regular member, attender here. God, just bless them now and speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope God doesn't, or maybe he does. I hope he comes in at your spirit like a freight train. Gotta tell you, as soon as I heard the whistle blow, the first thing, I got distracted in my prayer because I thought of Debbie Jobes back there. Even though my eyes were closed, I wondered if she was looking out the back door to see if she saw the train. No? No, Deb? Okay, good. Well, we're in the middle of, we're just starting a series on being cornered. And I wanted us to think this morning together as in these minutes that we have here today. Last week when we discussed this, we talked about how that Jesus is the cornerstone and how he has been set and how in his setting by the Father, that he completely fulfilled in every angle, every dimension, every way possible that you and I could imagine, he fulfilled everything for us. And so this morning, I want you to think about that from the perspective of what that means for the Christian today. What that means for the one who confesses Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that's been born again. Because what that really means is there's been something that you've been set in love. And that sometimes is hard for us because the life we live and the interactions that we have in this life, we don't often experience love as we expect to experience it. More often than not, it comes up short in what we have an expectation for other folks to do. But this morning, I'd like you to just think with me about this and consider this. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. That goes against the grain of everything normally that we engage with when we think about God. We nod our heads. Yes, Jesus loves me. Some of us as small children were taught that song. Some of us learned it later on in life and sang it to our children or our grandchildren or maybe in some other setting. But the reality of it is that we spend a lot of time sensing we need to do more. We spend a lot of time in the way we interact with God trying to see if we can maybe help him love us more. And sometimes that evaluation is just because of what goes on in our life. Things that don't work out. Things that we put a lot of stock in hoping that they would come through and they didn't come through. And so this morning, as we consider this together, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this: "So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son." See, we've been put into the kingdom, Christ in us. We've been put into God's kingdom, and it is a kingdom of love. 1 John 4:8, many of us can quote that, God is love. We can quote that verse. But that verse often gets lost in the day-to-day details of our relationships and the outcomes of things and the way our hopes and aspirations are going through. And so somehow we equate like, well, if I'm more obedient and I do better, God is going to love me more. But the thing is God's not looking to love you more because you're better or doing better or you've achieved more. See, this is a misconception that gets part of our way of thinking as Christians. Because from our childhood, we're always taught, be good, behave, do a better job, be a good little boy, be a good little girl. I cringe when I hear those words. We didn't use those words when we raised our kids. Because I just believe the Bible. The Bible says there's nobody good. No, not one. So I didn't even try to make my kids good. Maybe that's why they're so ornery. I don't know. But my goal wasn't to make them good. My goal was them that they would recognize that Jesus is the only one that can make them appropriate to live for eternity. And so when we spend all this time trying to make God love us anymore, we forget, and this is where we live on the other side, that there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. See, we can't do anything to increase God's love for us, but you know what? The other side, we can't do anything to diminish God's love for us. I feel like I should be talking in this microphone. Right? I mean, that's what happens in humanity. We work hard to be more accepted, to be more cared for, to be more loved, more nurtured, and then we're always trying to avoid things so that we're not less cared for, less nurtured, less loved, less received. And so if we don't open the scriptures, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, what happens is we start to believe that God is by the way life goes. And we forget that we've been put into this kingdom of love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 33, it says this: "Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself." You know, maybe there's some of you among us that you've been buying into this lie for a long time. You think you're not quite as lovable as you should be. That you're not quite as acceptable to God as you should be. And maybe you think that in some ways your life is just beyond God's reach. That this has just kind of happened and you're just going to have to live with it. And this is the way it's going to be. And this is the determining factor on how much God cares for you or how much God loves for you. And there's others of you that, and around the world, that the message of grace just never permeates their thinking. And they spend all their energy trying to get God to love them more, trying to gain more favor. But yet this morning, if you're born again, God has set you in his love. You're there. Not because you deserve to be there. Not because you're keeping yourself there in the sense of maintaining yourself in God's good graces. When John wrote this letter to the Ephesus church in his first little letter, and he said, hey, you know, keep yourselves in the love of God. When Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. When Peter brought up about the love of God. When Paul spoke, these men in their letters, the Holy Spirit guiding them. It was not about achievement. It was not about getting better, but it was about the idea that, hey, rest in the love of the Father who through Christ has made you whole. Who through Christ has made you exactly who God wants you to be. Look at this on the screen. Because of what Christ has done, why waste time and effort to reclaim the past when it would be much better for us to focus on creating the future? How often Christians live with their lives looking in the rearview mirror. If I hadn't done this, if so-and-so hadn't done this, if I hadn't had this experience. You know, we spend so much time rehearsing and reliving what we've already had by trusting Christ covered in the blood and removed from us. Sure, maybe you've sinned today. I have. It's Sunday, it's not even 11 o'clock yet, and I've sinned. More than once. But I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. I looked to my Savior. I just said what he said about my attitude. I said what he said about my thought. I said, well, so far I haven't acted it out yet, but I've thought some stuff. And I've had some attitudes this morning. And so I've dealt with them. And man, I'll be 61 next month. And there's a whole lot of baggage back there if I want to focus on it. That I've confessed. So you've done the same thing. So why, if Christ has done this for us, and God has set us in this place that there's no accusation, that he has made us the very righteousness, his righteousness in Christ, why do we spend so much time? Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 14 say this: giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints in the light. It is the one we now call Father, the God, Father, your Father, my Father. He has made us completely, like, fit. We fit in. How many of you built a puzzle in life? Just a regular puzzle, right? And you're going along and you get down the last piece or two, and what do? It fits in. It just fits in. It completes the puzzle. It fits in. Because we're in Christ, because you have trusted Jesus, you fit in. Because God has made you, just like the designer of that puzzle made those pieces, whether it was by a computer or whether back in the old days when they just cut them out on their own with knives and were very careful. It doesn't matter. God made you fit in. You don't make yourself fit in. You don't make somebody else fit in. It's Christ who's done that. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control of the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. See, when we talk about being set in love this morning, there's something been established by Christ for you and I. This thing has been settled forever. And it is unalterable. Because it is the kingdom, it is the Son of God's love. So the way God loves the Son, He loves you. And in fact, it's the way that you most want to be loved. We're going to do something because we love our country right now. We're going to shift up. I'm done. I got tons more to say. You'll have to come back next week to get the rest. But in a few seconds, we're going to be quiet for 2 minutes. Because it's going to be the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. And that was when the first armistice was signed at the Great War. So you can pray, you can meditate, just don't talk to your neighbor, don't elbow him. So we're going to take 2 minutes, and we're going to look to God and thank Him in our own hearts quietly, beginning right now. Just come up and get ready. I want to just, as we close this worship service this morning, you know, we get to walk in freedom today. We get to walk in freedom today because of the sacrifices of so many men and women. And as Frank aptly said, those who right this very day are on alert for our sakes. They're on alert for our sakes. But I want you to, Sue, can you go back to that Psalm 119:45? It was the next slide. That's all right, we'll wait for you. Because as a believer, as one who trusts Jesus as your personal Savior, there's a beautiful verse that I want to close with this morning. It's out of Psalms 119, verse 45. It says, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. You see, once we recognize that we're set in love, and we stop living life as Christians in the rearview mirror. We can devote ourselves to what God has said, not for achievement's sake, but for love's sake. And as we give ourselves to Scriptures, you know what happens to us on the inside? Freedom. Freedom. The liberty to hear from the Spirit of God and follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Interact with people based on the truth of the Spirit of God and God's Word. So I encourage you. I encourage you this week, just in these few verses, this short period of time, think about the men and women who have loved this country so much that they have given the ultimate sacrifice. And then easily it'll help you do the jump to how much Jesus loved you. But how much more redemptive and transforming is His death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Would you all stand with us, please?